With us, those of you who were here for breakfast this morning, the guys did a great job for breakfast. It was good food. Still smells like bacon everywhere in the church. Well, this morning, before we get started on the sermon, I want to take just a couple of minutes to talk about some of the things about Mother's Day. And if I were to ask you why we gather together and celebrate Mother's Day, the answer would be what? If I were to ask you what women think of themselves on a day like this, the answer would be what? Just a minute, we'll have an answer. Yeah, they're still thinking. Now, on the other hand, if I were to ask you what we men think of our wives, what would the answer be? If I were to ask you what women expect of their men, what would the answer be? Now I have one last question, guys, so you'll know. What do women expect out of today?
I prefer a man who lives and gives expensive jewelry. The hand may be quite continental, but diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Okay, turn your Bibles to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. Happy Mother's Day, ladies. We're going to study today, in honor of Mother's Day, a mother that God trusted. 1 Kings chapter 17, we'll be starting on verse 1, reading the chapter. We're going to give a shot today at getting all the scripture up here. If you don't have a Bible with you, you should be able to follow along up there. This is our first run with getting all the scriptures from a sermon up here, so be patient if we hit the wrong one. 1 Kings 17, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord of God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and he dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called unto her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn, by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth, is truth. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning, help us, Lord, to take your scripture and put it on a perspective that matches our own lives. Help us, Father, to rejoice in the history you've written down for us and the true stories of your word that bring us a realization that we, no matter what we face, you're always there with us, that you prepared us thousands of years ago with the things that you wrote down to direct us. Let us never doubt your love, dear Lord. Let us this day in our hearts love you above all things. And Lord, on this earth, let us honor our mothers. In thy name we pray. Amen. What a great story this morning we're going to look at. And we're going to look at the widow woman in there, the mother in this story. Elijah had just gone to the king and said, It's not going to rain here until I say it will again. As soon as he did that and pronounced that to the king, to Ahab, God told him, Go out and hide by this brook. I want you to go out there and hide out, and I want you to drink of the brook Cherith, and the ravens will bring you food in the morning and the evening. You'll have plenty to eat. The birds will take care of you. So Elijah did as he was told, and he went out and hid. And the exciting thing about this is sometimes, folks, you know, this story, you've all probably read it dozens of times. But one of the keys I want to get across to you before we go into the widow woman is this, is that we don't know how long Elijah lived by this stream. We know it was quite a while because the stream went dry. He had nothing more to drink. During that whole time, this man of God, in his service of the Lord, depended on a bird to bring him food night and day. What a great statement of faith that is. And we do know that as Elijah was told by the Lord to go to Zarephath from this stream, God is commanding him to go into the heart of evil. He's telling him to go to Zarephath, which is actually the home of Jezebel. We all know who Jezebel was. And it was the actual center of our worship of Baal in those times, false gods. God is sending Elijah right in the middle of the trouble, right to the place where it all started. The wonderful thing is the way he took care of Elijah. And I want to focus on this woman this morning, if you will. In verse 9, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God made a statement to Elijah, I have already picked someone out that I trust to take care of you, Elijah. See, this widow woman was a woman that God trusted. God was going to allow her to be a part of history, to be a part of the Bible. He was going to allow this woman, this widow woman, to take care of the greatest prophet in the land, Elijah. What is really unique here is that she lived in Zarephath, which meant she was a Gentile woman. She was not an Israelite woman, or not an Israeli woman. God said, I have a woman who I have commanded to take care of you. I want to ask you a question. How many of you think that this woman knew God had commanded her to do this? Nobody? Isn't that pretty cool? How does that apply to our lives, folks? This topic this morning is on a mother, but it's not restricted to mothers. It's a topic that says when God commands us to do something, many times we may not even be aware of it at the time He commands us. See, she probably didn't know Elijah was coming. But God used the phrase, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, why do you think that God trusted this woman? Is trust not based on experience most times? Is trust not based on someone who you can count on to complete the task you give them? Is trust not based on someone who you feel will not betray you? Is that not how we would define trust in our lives? Well, God has trusted this woman. And we would have to look at her and we'd have to say, but God, there's a whole country that you've blessed and decided is your chosen people, the Israelites. Why did you not pick a widow of your own people, of those chosen people? Why are you sending this guy clear out of his way to Zarephath? Why did you not trust one of your own people? I'm going to read to you from Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 24 to 26. This was Jesus talking in the New Testament. Verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell of you a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Jesus said that God picked a widow of a Gentile nation because that those people in a prophet's own country will not accept that man. So God trusted this widow because Elijah's voice would not be heard in his own people. Because that there was a place they had fallen so far away from God that God had to call up someone he trusted outside of his chosen people. Isn't that a sad thing? Isn't it a scary thing when those who God has picked, chosen, elect, preordained, whatever term you use, isn't it a sad thing when there's no one among them that can be trusted? That God had to reach out and pick this poor widow woman, who, as we can tell, is starving to death because of famine on the land. If the brook was dry, Elijah had pronounced a drought on the land, then she had no way to get food. And as the story says, her and her son are getting ready to eat their last meal and die. But God trusted this woman that even in the midst of all her pain, in the middle of a life and death situation, that she could be trusted to do what God wanted her to do. Point being, many times in our lives, God wants to trust us with things to do. Many times in our lives, He has to choose someone else because we're not trustworthy. Many times in our lives, we call ourselves Christians, yet God has to use a lost person out here in the world to get done some of the work He wants because He couldn't find the one that was trustworthy in His own group. Now, there's another great part of this, and as we read the story, is do you realize that when God trusted her, let me ask you this, what would have happened to the widow's son if God hadn't used her? What would have happened to the widow's son if the widow hadn't done what God said? Did he die? Yes, he did. Nod your heads yes. He died. But he was saved twice by God in this story. Once, he was getting ready to starve to death. Okay? Elijah comes along, does a little poof, and they have all the meal and water they want or oil they need. So he's saved from starvation. Then he dies anyway. And God then brings him back to life. Do you understand that when God trusts us with something, it is not over only to achieve His will, it's that we may be blessed in our lives. Sometimes we run from Christian service. We hide out from Christian duty saying, oh, I can't handle the load. It's too much for me. Folks, God knows tomorrow. And when He taps you on the shoulder for a job today, I promise you this. If you do what He tells you, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. This story is an awesome, awesome accounting of a woman who did not know why she was doing what she did. She just decided to do the right thing. And because she chose to do the right thing. See, do you understand that if she had said, no, I'm not giving you no food, that God would still have fed Elijah? He wasn't going to leave him to starve. Do you understand that? But God knew the widow woman would do what He told her to do. God trusted her. And I would submit to you today that a Christian woman, a Christian mother, a Christian wife is someone that God can trust. Is someone that God can look into their home and say, no matter what the circumstances, I can trust that woman to do what I need done. Isn't that a beautiful picture of a godly woman? Isn't it a wonderful thing to say that God looks in our homes? The scary thing is how many of us has God told us to do something we said, no, God, not right now. And God said, oh, my child, I had such a blessing for you. Oh, my child, I want to protect your family, but I need you to be obedient first. Mothers, since today's Mother's Day, I throw this out and challenge you with this. When you know what the right thing to do is, you need to do it. Because it may not only affect you, it may affect your whole family. God trusted this woman and He showed her His trust. You know, society, sadly, we've changed many of the rules. We have forgotten, and Mother's Day kind of brings our minds back into focus what a mother is. But we live in a world that's, for many, 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 many years, we've saw our society deteriorate into a society that has taken that special place a woman was given by God. And we've seen society twist and turn and reshape it to the point that we don't pay tribute to those women God trusts the way we should. Now, in all honesty, most of it is greed. We live in a time when we want more and more material things, so we decide we need more and more income, so we push the wife to have employment. We push her to make income because we say we can't make it. And there are those situations. But Most of the time it's because we want more stuff. I think that we have changed the structure of the home so much that there's not too many women can be where this widow woman was, unless the woman commits herself personally to be trustworthy of God, because we as men aren't helping. We're pushing our wives. My wife works as a school nurse. Personally thinks she should take an evening shift at the hospital and we could have more money in the house. But I'm not going to push her to do that, just a hint. We change things to suit what we think is a need in our life. That's a sad thing. We in society, you know, all of you know, I do not believe that the Bible, I believe the Bible is very specific in the roles of men and women. And I think a woman's role is the most precious role that the Bible has. Ladies, do you know how much God trusts you when He gives you a child? Do you know how much trust He lays in your arms? Do you know how much He's saying to you, I am giving you charge over one of my most precious possessions? Because He trusts you. But we've tried to mess the role up. We don't see that the woman is entrusted with the care of the children. We have forgotten that they are described as a precious vessel in Scripture. Something that you literally would put on a shelf and admire. What a beautiful thing our women are. But we've tried to distort and change the roles, and we've hurt the family that way, folks. We've really caused destruction in our homes across America. You know, all of you know that I don't believe the Bible makes room for women preachers. I don't believe it's in Scripture. Now, I'm not saying there aren't women who can preach better than I can, but it's not the job God gave them to do. I believe there's a lot of women know a lot more than I do about the Word, and that probably could be a better preacher, but it's not the role God gave them. But we're so consumed in our society of changing things around to suit what we want that it's so hard to get to the back to the basic of this story, is that God wants to be able to pick people and trust them for the work He has. And in trusting them, He will then bless them when they're obedient to His command. It's so important that you realize what God said to Elijah. I have commanded this woman. Now, ladies out there, you know in your hearts when God gives you a command. You may not be aware of why He gave you the command. It means the same thing for you. I have a real hard time, special day preaching. You all know that. This hits us all. God wants to trust men and women alike. But we have to show ourselves worthy of His trust. And how do we do that? Drop down to verses 12 to 15 in chapter 17 of 1 Kings. Now this is in response to Elijah telling the woman to go get him something to eat. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die." Isn't that sad? Can you imagine? I don't know if there's a sadder verse in Scripture next to Jesus wept than this verse that she says, "I'm going in to cook the last of our food that we may die." She was in a desperate situation. Verse 13. "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after that, make for thee and for thy son." Wow. Anybody in here ever been real hungry? Okay. It's tough, huh? I mean, you're down there and you're just scrapping and there's nothing left and and how would you like it if some preacher walked up and said, "Is that a Snickers you got there?" "Yeah, it's my last one." I haven't eaten 3 days. I'm saving this Snickers because I have no money. I have no job. I have nothing. I'm going to eat this last candy bar and die. And that stinking preacher said, give me a bite first. How would you feel about that? Nah, you'd slap him silly, wouldn't you? But you realize that's what happened here? Think about it. Now, Elijah, I gather, folks, from reading about Elijah, the guy, he didn't kid around. He's pretty straightforward, hit you between the eyes kind of preacher or prophet. He goes up to this lady and says, make me a little cake. She says, sir, I have one last meal for my son and I. I'm going to cook it and my son and I then will lay down and die together. And Elijah says, well, give me something to eat first and then cook you and your son some. See, she had to have enough faith in what God said to give up everything she had. The second point in today's lesson on this widow is that she was a woman of great faith. See, we talk about what we'll give up for the Lord, don't we? Sometime, I challenge you to do this. Sometime, get a recorder and record yourself praying. Then later on, listen to it and hear all the things you told God you were going to do. Oh, Lord, anything you want, you just get me out of this one mess and I'm yours forever. I'll go to Nigeria and be a missionary. How do I get there, Lord? I don't know, but I'll go. I'll be anything you want. Oh, I wish we could replay some of the things we've said to God. Because we're always making verbal commitments that have no physical action behind them. This lady stepped up and said, I give everything I have because the Lord has instructed me to do it. Isn't that amazing? How many of us in here, and I don't want a show of hands because it would embarrass all of us, me included. But how many of you, if you were down to the last thing you had and God demanded it of you, are you ready to give it to Him? Because that is the point in your life when you find total peace with our God. You can grow and grow and grow, folks. But this lady was at home plate. She was willing to give everything, her life and her child's included, to do what God told her to do. And it embarrasses me because I think of the things I'm not willing to give up that I don't even need. How many things I have that I just don't need at all? And I hold on to them like they're a cherished possession. You know, the New Testament teaches us that our hearts are where our treasures are. Where do you think this lady's heart was at? In following God's will. She was a woman of great faith. Oh gosh, to get that spot in our lives. In 15 it says, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her and he and her house did eat many days. Faithfulness brings blessing. Faithfulness brings blessing. In our lives, if we could just learn how to get a hold of this faith, that everything I have belongs to God, and the moment He asks for it, it's His. Oh, folks, what a place we'd be with God. Yet, you can go across Taos, New Mexico today, look in the churches that are truly preaching the Word of God, and you will see that we won't even give up a couple hours of our time. We're always too busy. This lady was ready to faithfully and obediently give all she had to the Lord. If we were to talk about faith for a moment, we would need to look at Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How do you grow faith in your life like this woman's? Well, the Bible tells us that our faith is our proof of those things we don't see. that it's the thing that, it's the substance of things we hope for. It's that thing that keeps us afloat. It's that thing that caused the widow to be willing to give it all. But how does it in our lives? Our problem is not that we don't have the ability to have faith. Our problem is that we don't grasp what faith truly is. Faith as it grows is something that becomes the reality of your life. If in your life you can perceive God in your mind, and not a physical presence, but you perceive the presence of God in your life, then you depend on that. That you have faith on that. You have trust in a lot of things in this world. You have faith in believing it's going to happen. You put your faith in different things. A child has faith that when it wakes up in the morning, the parent will feed them, will provide food for them. Husbands and wives, you have faith that when you're hurting, that your mate will take care of you. That's faith. In the church, when you show up at church on Sunday, you have faith that I'll be up there to preach a sermon. Whether you like it or not, you know I'll preach one. You depend on me to do that. And when our faith gets to the point that we depend on God to do it instead of trying to do it ourselves. Because this lady knew this last meal is done. There's nothing more I can do. It's out of my hands. We're going to die. When our own lives we say, God, I can't fix my marriage. It's out of control. God, I've spent all my money and I don't know what to do. God, I have no food in my house. God, I'm losing my job. But God, I know that you'll fix it. Then that's when your faith has gone to a place you can depend on God. Okay? Poor Zach got him a new truck. Folks had to tow it to work on it, and while they were towing it, they wrecked his new truck. It's a horrible thing. Now, Zach's faith is in question. Not in God, but does he have enough faith in the guy who wrecked his truck that he had insurance? Zach's got to depend on that, because Zach, you can't afford to go out and buy another truck, can you? So he has to depend on that insurance. That make sense to you? Folks, understand, in your lives, there's many things, there's nothing you can do, but God can do anything. That's the faith the widow had. It's when we let go and understand that life is truly beyond our control that we need to be the loving arms of the Lord. Now, what is the third thing we see about this widow? Flip over to verse 18. In fact, I'm going to read 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou coming to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? She had doubts. The story shows us that having faith does not mean you can't have doubts sometimes. Remember John the Baptist? Guy wasn't scared of nothing. He was a lot like Elijah. John the Baptist out there preaching when there was nobody else preaching. God hadn't spoke to the nation of Israel in 400 years, and John the Baptist is out there, as you would say, pounding the pulpit. Jesus, the Son of God, is coming. John the Baptist ministered in the toughest place in the world there was to minister, and that was among a bunch of religious fanatics, the Pharisees. And John the Baptist, when he got thrown in prison, right before he died, do you know what he did? Sent some of his disciples to go to Jesus and saying, are you really the Son of God? See, he had doubts. Not that he didn't believe, but he had doubt. Now this widow lady says, I've done everything God said. I followed all the instructions. Why'd you come here, Elijah? To kill my son? I want to bring this point out because all of us in our lives of serving God will at times have doubts. Okay? Now, she had a choice while she was doubting. Elijah says, bring me his body. She could have stopped serving God at that point. Do you understand that? She could have said, get out of my house. You cost me my son's life. Get away from me. She could have stopped obeying at that point. What would have happened? Son would have stayed dead. See, the secret is even when you have doubts, you keep serving. Because doubts is going to come on every one of us. You're going to have all kinds of doubts. Folks, you're going to doubt if you're a Christian or not. There's times you're going to say, I'm not sure. I would bet money every believer in this room today has had times they wondered, am I a Christian? And that includes me. But doubt cannot stop you from serving because on the other side of doubt is a risen son. On the other side of doubt is new life. It's a reinvigorating experience in your life that when you doubt and you're down and you're at the bottom and all of a sudden you say, no matter what, God, I know I'm yours and I'll do what you tell me. Then all of a sudden, God gives you that hug and the doubts go away. There's times in your life when you're going to doubt if God exists. But you can't let that doubt stop you. Do you not think at the point this poor widow lady's son died, she did not doubt the existence of a God? Or at least of a just God? There's things going to happen in your life. You're going to say, how can there be a just God and these things happen? How? There is no explanation to the things we have to go through. To those things that bring doubt in our lives, no preacher can give you an answer. I mean, there's the cliches that we hear and say. But truth is this, where you're at in your life, what you are going through in your life, only God knows tomorrow. Only God fully understands the pain you feel. I've told you this so many times. We have such a tendency of saying to one another, I know how you feel. Okay? Folks, when I'm hurting, you don't know how I feel. Understand that. Every one of us experiences different feelings, no matter what the situation is. Every one of us thinks we can relate to another person's pain, but we can't. Only God can. If I could go through here today and pick up many of you that's gone through things and you would give your personal experience, but personal experience is empty. Do you understand? When you see people saved, you see people accept the Lord and you'll see them crying their eyes out. But the next person may be laughing in joy. The next person may not show any emotion, just a burden lifted off their shoulders. Personal experience means nothing. It is the experience between the individual and God one-on-one. We don't know what that widow woman felt, even if we ourselves have lost a job. We don't. We don't know how much it shook her faith. We don't know how far it took her into doubt. And each and every one of us will be dragged into doubt in our lives, but you must stand up to the doubt. And you must walk through that doubt into faith. Rachel, if a year ago you had given up, where would you be? Don't know. No. Because she stood up and let God walk her through the doubt, the challenge. Everyone in here has faced those things in their lives. Don't beat yourself up because you have a doubt now and then, okay? Where you got to get yourself is if the doubt controls your life instead of the faith. You keep going because you know that God's on the other side of the problem. Now, what is the last thing that we're going to see that this widow woman did? Let's flip down to verse 24. And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." Folks, the first thing she did when she experienced the miracle of her son being brought back to life is she gave glory to God. You ever forgot to say thank you to God? You ever forgot to tell him how much it means to you, the little things he does for you? Husbands, have you ever had a time when you've just sat and thanked God for the wife that God's given you? Children? Well, I better ask this. I better clarify first. How many of you had a mother? Okay, 100%. Okay. How many of you have taken the time to thank God for your mother? To give credit to God? Isn't a mother an awesome creation? They're just about as special as it can get. Now, I realize some of you may have had a bad experience with a mother, and I'm sorry. But overall, mothers, pretty special. Grandmothers, I like grandmothers, especially now I'm old enough to be married to a grandmother. I like grandmothers. What a wonderful thing it is that God trusts women. What a wonderful thing it is that God knows he can trust women like this widow lady. What an awesome thing it is that that widow woman was willing to give up everything she had to do what God wanted. What a wonderful thing it is that her faith was bigger than her doubts. What a wonderful thing it is that when God fixed her problems, and I assure you this, God will fix your problems if you let God do it, as she gave glory to him. You know, on Wednesday nights when we gather here for prayer, we have something called answered prayers. And we write down how different things that have been answered. Sometimes the sheet will be full of answered prayers. Sometimes there's just a few. But there's always answered prayer. See, I know you folks. I know how many of you we've prayed for. I know what we've prayed for, and I know the situations you've gone through, and I'm challenging you this morning to look at yourself and say, does God trust me? Am I faithful? Will I allow my faith to be bigger than my doubt? And will I give glory to God? Please stand. What are we singing, Brian?
116.
Okay, we're going to be singing Victory in Jesus, 116 here in just a minute. Right now we're going to bow our heads, close our eyes. I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Instead of just listening to me pray, I'm going to challenge you to say to God, God, do you trust me? Ask him. Let him tell you. If the answer you're getting in your heart is no, then fix it. It's not a magic formula. It's just letting God have control. If you're here this morning and you realize that you've never taken the step from religion to Christianity, that you've never taken that step from just knowing God exists to saying, God, I want you as my personal Savior. So that's what the Bible says. You must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. If you've never done that, it's a personal decision. I challenge you to make it today. Whatever place you're at in your life, get yourself to the position God can trust you. Close your eyes, please. Father God, Lord, this morning we thank you again for your presence. Lord, there's some here that I know that have never tasted of the joy of turning their lives all the way over to you. I'm sure there's some Christians here this morning that maybe you don't trust them, God. Maybe there's some of us that aren't trustworthy. Father, I pray that you touch our hearts so hard that we cry out to you, Lord, make me trustworthy. Grow our faith, dear Lord. Make it bigger than our doubts. In thy name we pray. Amen.